Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. Today's scripture is Psalm 23, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. By way of background, this is Dr. Eugene Peterson's translation of the 23rd Psalm. We know and love the original, but this underscores some of the modern take of it. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows, and you find me quiet pools to drink from. And then, skipping a few verses, even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. You walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. This is probably the most popular and beloved psalm, but you note that it's there's a natural tension between the awe and wonder of knowing one's need of God, but also living with real threat. It's just something we are aware of. So how do we find a rhythm to our lives so we're not just driven into some dark place, if not literally, figuratively? Well, we have to remember that our life is a movement spiritually. It's not a residence. You're not going to be always high or always low. I remember when I was in grad school going to my mentor and just tearing up about 10 yards of carpet in his office, saying what a struggle it was. I had young children. My wife was supporting us. We just had incredibly dense and high-pressure lives. And Miles looked at me and smiled, and he says, Joey, you don't appreciate the mountaintop unless you've been through the valley. And I've had to remind myself of that phrase. We can't appreciate the mountaintop unless we've moved through the valley. Sometimes on our hands and knees, sometimes boldly and with purpose, but we have to keep moving. In 1983, singer Anne Murray, that beautiful Canadian songbird, had a hit song called A Little Good News. It topped the country charts and even crossed over to the pop charts. The lyrics told the story of a standard bad news that made up TV news shows and newspaper reports back then. Fighting in the Middle East, the bad economy, a robbery, a hostage taking, damage to the environment, killings, and so on. Then the song says, just once I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today. Can't find nothing bad to say because nobody robbed a liquor store down on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd. Nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good news today. How I want to hear the anchor and say about a country fair, a county fair, and how we cleaned up the air and how everybody learned to care. Well, that was 1983. That's a long time ago. And a lot of news has gone by the boards, and not all of it good. I watched some of the news coverage from Boston, and I was touched. I happen to favor NBC News because members of this parish used to work for them, strangely enough. But I also, I've liked their newscasts. I don't watch much news, but I wanted to know what was going on. And after the capture of this second young man, I watched the newscasters ask just regular people, just like you and you and you, just how do you feel? And they felt a sense of relief, a sense of gratitude, a sense of hope emanated. And it really was, for me, touching. They had been through 23 hours of lockdown. If you can imagine, any of you who have ever been to Boston, to lock down a city of that size is pretty frightening. But it's hard to go anywhere when you hear shots, when you can't get a bus or a train or even a cab. So they came away with some sense of hope. And that's the touching part for me, was that that's how the news for that portion signed off. I know there'll be analysis and over-analysis of all of this, the why and wherefore. But I think life is larger than that. We don't need to reside in fear, but to live with some sense of hope and care and love towards the future. There's an ad campaign that I would venture to say most everybody has heard of. It just three little words, common everyday words. Words that for many decades have served as a marketing slogan for one of America's most successful consumer products. Three words, no more tears. No more tears. Any of us who have ever wrestled our two-year-olds into the tub and tried to wash their hair know what that's about. It's baby shampoo. No more tears. The campaign works, at least it seems to work. It seems not possible in life and not even plausible, yet the companion text for this morning is Revelation 7:17, gives that promise of a future hope, that in God's time, in God's way, we may not have tears. Most of us look at life and have a different take on what a solution is. One of my favorite cartoons, I'm uncomfortable with the title, is Zits, but that's the title that Jerry Scott and Jim Bergman chose for it. And the lead character is Jeremy, a teenager, who has an interesting solution to most every problem that comes his way. The other day, he broke a shoelace on his shoes. And a common thing, most of us have had that happen, but he takes his shoes to his mother and says, I need a new pair of shoes, because he's broken his shoelace. She, of course, being pragmatic and practical, finds him shoelaces and says, here, this is what you need to do. You need to relace your shoes. And he, responding as a modern teenager would be, would respond, says, that seems like so much work, when you could just go out and buy a new pair of shoes. We encounter in our lives, maybe we've been that person. You know, I remember looking at my parents and thinking they must have been made of money. And I can't tell you how many times my mother would say to me, when I was asking something unreasonable, maybe it was for shoes, maybe it was for something else, she'd say, go back in the backyard and just pull some money off of that tree that's in the backyard. And I'd imagine some of you had that same response from your parents. We allow ourselves to get stuck in places that can be harmful. Sometimes we can alight in places that can be helpful. The quote that Patty read before the offertory, I've read that. I'm an amateur student of sociology, and I know all of that detail about people who worship regularly, live longer. And I shared that with someone, and they said, well, maybe their life is so boring, it just seems like they're living longer. And I thought, well, I resemble that. In his book, Bread for the World, Dr. Henry Nouwen writes that we often confuse unconditional love with unconditional approval. God loves us without conditions, but God does not approve of every human behavior. God does not approve of betrayal, violence, hatred, suspicion, and all other expressions of evil, because they all contradict the love God wants to instill in the human heart. Evil is the absence of God's love. Evil does not belong to God. God's unconditional love means that God continues to love us even when we say or think or do evil things. God continues to wait for us as a loving parent might wait for the return of a lost child. It is important for us to hold on to the truth that God never gives up loving us, even when God is saddened by what we do. The truth will help us to listen to God's ever present love. Some of us wait. We wait for God. We wait for love. We wait and it passes in front of us, or we inhibit goodness from coming our way. Yesterday there were two interesting articles. I'm going to focus on more on one, but I feel the need to comment on both. Deborah Bankin, who writes for the LA Times, had a front page article in the calendar section that says, Raves and Rants. I knew I wasn't going to get that right. And it's on an article on Mark Maron, who is a stand-up comic. He is 50 years old. He looks like he's lived those lives purposefully. And he is one of those generation of comics that came up in the 90s who didn't make it. And he just now is having tremendous success with some podcasts that he has. And the quote that really struck me was, he said, I really thought this wasn't going to happen for me. He said, after all, I'm 50 my next birthday. I didn't think it was going to happen. But everything in the article says that he's been a success. But he didn't feel like he was a success until he got this chance to do a sitcom that's loosely based on his stand-up act, which is apparently a bit of a rant. I don't know his work. He sounds pretty funny to me. But what he says, which is so open and honest, Louis C.K., a very famous stand-up comedian, and he were really, really good friends. And because of Louis's success, Mark broke off the friendship, and they had been estranged for over a decade. And he says of himself, Mark does, that he finally matured enough to apologize to Louis and for his jealousy. There's power in admitting our mistakes. There's power in doing the right and loving thing. The other article I just want to focus on in terms of how time goes by and you just don't realize it. Randy Lewis, who is the music critic, wrote on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I'm told was a five-hour meeting. And I don't know, we may have members of the voting body here, but the nexus of the article focused on Heart, which is a female-based group. I think they're much broader than that, but that's Mr. Lewis wrote about that. And the Wilson sisters, who were the founding members, that it took so long for them to get in. But the real issue was the group Rush, who's from Canada. And I'm not a huge fan of Rush, meaning I've never been to their concerts, but I'm one of the three people in America of my generation who don't like Led Zeppelin. I see you smiling out there. It's just odd how we pigeonhole. Mr. Lewis focused on how diverse this Hall of Fame induction was. And then I read something that I just could not believe. Quincy Jones, who is 80, is not a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Or he wasn't until he was inducted. And I thought, how could that be? But that's how we live. And so here he is at 80. And his comment was, I never thought this was going to happen. It's so amazing. I don't know that I'll watch all 5 hours when it airs in May, but I'm excited to see the people and to hear their expressions of being patient and waiting, not residing in jealousy, but residing in hope and creativity. I think we're no less called this day. We can reside in fear, or we can move with love and hope and purpose. May it ever be so.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.